Hello, what's her name, listeners? It's Katie. I have for you here totally unedited, rough audio from my visit to the archives in the city of Leiden. After visiting the gin distillery, I was actually connected with the Leiden archives, and there I met Susan Sewer, who also has a website and a podcast. And she told me that she actually has a giant folder full of all the paperwork, every little receipt, every slip of paper, every report from the investigation into Huyumi. It was mind-blowing to be able to see it, and I wanted to share it with you just in case you want to come on this adventure with me. Although I know you can only hear it instead of see it. But if you'd like to use your imagination and come along with me on a visit to the archives, you are most welcome.
Some of your bags, because most are somewhere in
Europe. our carry-on bags, we've been wearing the same clothes for days, just like washing them in the shower. It's quite the adventure. Okay, I started a new file. Okay. Did you? Okay, great. Well, okay, remind me if I'm pronouncing this right. Huya? No. Yeah?
Huya?
Huya me.
Huya me, yes.
Okay, so yesterday I learned about her life, and they had some pictures that they had printed out of various documents to do with cholera and things like that. They didn't know that you have the actual
police files.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me about them. What is this that you have here?
It's a big packet of paper from the 19th century, and it's just chronologically ordered. So there are other police documents in it as well. And someone in the 20th century just put all the Huyumi stuff together. So that's the whole police file on the research they did. Because I think the 14th of December was the moment that a doctor found out something was wrong and a family had been poisoned. And after that, you get the whole investigation. And it's instructions to people to research various kinds of poison. To go to houses to count the plates. Like one person said, he was served his food on a red plate and he was poisoned, and other people had a white plate. So then police officers go to the house and look into the cupboards to find the plates. Lots of witnesses. This is about poison. It's which poisons are soluble, can be put in porridge or milk, and which can't.
Wow.
It's a terrible handwriting. Here is part of her confession that she bought yellow powder that was used to kill bugs on the wall, like lice that live in the walls. And she bought it at the chemist, and the street is mentioned, the Hoge Woerd.
So this is a scribe actually writing down her actual words, her confession. I wondered if she admitted to any of it, or if she did. She say, "I didn't do anything," to the very end.
Well, yeah, she admits things, and then she says, "Oh, I'm not really sure. I was very drunk. I don't know what happened, but." This is a part of her confession where she says she bought the poison to kill the bugs, but you weren't allowed to just buy the poison. You had to mix it with chalk powder because otherwise it's just too poisonous.
Mm.
So she bought both and didn't mix it. Quite a big file. Here is the part where someone tells that the person poisoned was her nephew. She poisoned three of her nephews. Two died. This one survived. Peter De Hees, and he had a red plate. There were eight persons in the house that afternoon. There were only seven white plates. And then the Goeie Mie gave another kind of plate. And this is the instruction. Someone should go to the house and see what kind of plates are available in the house. So maybe there are eight white plates, and then you know that she didn't need to give a red one.
But, oh, wow.
But the red one was poisoned and the other not, wasn't. And then this is the answer. They didn't count the plates, but they did bring a white plate and a red cover for a pan for so wow. The whole investigation can be followed by reading all these instructions. It was 1883 when she was found out, and she had probably been poisoning people for years. So the people were already buried and they had to be dug up again to investigate and see what traces of poison, arsenic were still in the body or even in the earth next to the graves. And it was children, and I think over here are the receipts, because people had to be paid for digging up decomposing bodies.
Wow. Oh, this is amazing. Has anyone ever gone through it bit by bit and made an account of the entire investigation?
I'm not sure. I think the last biography of Goeie Mie was written by Stefan Glasbergen,
mm-hmm.
and he has absolutely seen all these documents.
Oh, okay.
So has Ingrid Moerman about 30 years ago, I think. People have investigated these, but most are just looking for clues and not transcribing everything.
The process.
Wow.
This is just in-depth.
Yeah.
Like a forensic process in the
1800s. Yeah.
Wow. Was this a new method of investigation, or was this unusually involved or anything?
I think it didn't happen that much that people were poisoned and it was found out years later.
Mm. Mm.
I know of some poisoning cases. One woman serving her husband poisoned pancakes, for instance. But usually, people didn't poison each other. And, Goeie Mie poisoned maybe 100 people. So it was, she is the biggest serial killer in history, probably. I think she's in the Guinness Book of Records. So this is such a unique case.
Amazing. I imagine as they discovered the scale of it, it must have been horrifying.
Yeah. It was all over the papers, the newspapers, especially her trial had a whole front page in the newspaper.
Was she held in the same jail?
Yeah. Yeah.
The same cells and everything?
Probably, yes, at first. Yeah. She was held over there. And when she was sentenced, she was sent to the women's prison in another city, in Gorkum.
Oh, wow.
And that's where she died as well.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is that the death penalty had just been abolished for a year, maybe two. So after this case, people were saying we need to reinstate the death penalty, because if people like this are still allowed to live, that's not good. But she was sentenced to life in prison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's two really interesting cases of justice. You have the jailer, and then, 150 years later, one of the most prolific serial killers ever.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This is an amazing conscious record keeping on their part, that they kept every little bit. Oh, but I guess you'd need it for the trial, right?
Yeah. These things are... They were always kept. I'm not sure about now, but probably as well. You need everything. Yeah.
Amazing.
I really like this one. The receipts. That's, it's
beautiful.
It's beautifully printed. And it said, received from the police commissioner 1/2021 Gilders. Working money for digging up and reburying five bodies.
Wow! How much did they get paid?
21 guilders for five bodies, so that's about 4 guilders a body.
What is that in today's money?
Wow. €2, not even €2.
Really?
that's it was probably more.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Wow, what a job!
Yeah,
to dig up.
Yeah, terrible.
Rotten, potentially poisonous bodies.
Yeah,
and did they find the traces of poisoning in those?
They did.
Wow.
And they even took out the caskets, and I think they investigated or did some research on poison in the wood. They needed carriages, carts to move the bodies. So it's all documented.
Wow.
In this extremely big pile.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Why did they write like that?
They write on only the right side of the paper, so they can make corrections in the left, on the left part. You see one word, but if they think they need extra notes or correct, then they
what
use
does that say?
It's a highly honored lord. I come to bother you with a friendly request. It's important for me to know which illness is cause of death for the 16 bodies that were researched? I think by which surgeon or doctor, by which doctor the death notes are written, which burial place everybody has been buried, and how deep in the ground.
Wow. That really brings all the details to life. Every little step that they were taking to uncover her whole, the scale of her operation.
Yeah, because when they found out that she had been poisoning her own family, then people started thinking, oh, but her nephews died 2 years ago, and oh, her sister was ill, and so then things started adding up, because in the poor quarter of Leiden people died. Cholera had been raging through the city, so poor people died, and nobody really thought anything about it until they found out it was all people that were related to Huyemi.
And that detail of the red plate. That's amazing. Are there any other details like that that they uncovered of how, what her system was, or how she was?
Yeah, she tried to feed milk, poisoned milk to her niece, and the child didn't want to drink it, and then the cat licked the milk and got sick. So it's all in this file.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think her motive was? Was she just angry? Was she targeting people who made her angry? Or was she just just insane and just putting poison in things?
I think she started with a money objective, because she made contracts for their burials. Burial insurance for the people she knew, and then when they died she would get the money to give them a decent burial, and just didn't pay everything. And it's a bit strange that you can make an insurance contract for someone and that person doesn't know about it. So that has been changed after this whole case. But she also poisoned people that didn't have an insurance. Maybe she didn't like them. And I think after you have killed a few people, then maybe lives aren't that important to you anymore, and it's easier. I'm not sure. I haven't killed anyone. It might be that you just, when you cross a line, it disappears.
Yeah. What did she do with the money? Well, she didn't live like a rich woman, did she?
No.
Wow.
I don't know what she did with the money. Maybe she wanted to save it up for a better future.
Wow.
Yeah.
This just massive stack of papers with every tiny detail.
Yeah.
I need these bodies dug up. Tell me where they are and how deep they're buried. Now I need a carriage to carry them to where they'll be analyzed. And was it scientists at the university that were doing the chemical analysis?
I'm not sure.
Wow.
They needed professionals, I think, and they would have been at the university. Mm. I don't know who did the analysis. No.
Is your sense that she was surprised to be caught?
Oh. Yeah, probably. I think she thought she would get away with it.
Mm.
Especially one of her first arguments, one of her first confessions states that she, yeah, she doesn't really remember, she was drunk. It's more like, oh, I'm caught, what am I going to tell them now? Yeah.
She didn't have like a plan or
no.
a story.
No.
Wow. How many other people were there like her that didn't get caught?
I don't think there were any other people like her.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I really hope. Yeah.
Wow. What an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this?
Oh,
I know this book.
It's an older book. People have been doing research since at least the 1940s, I think.
Mm.
This one is from 1994.
Has anyone written a historical novel about her? I wonder.
I don't think so, but she was a murderer.
Yeah.
It's a bit strange that we have such a positive idea now.
Yeah.
Just because it's a story that we can't really believe is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why are we so fascinated with criminals?
Yeah.
Especially, she was evil.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, we fixate on people like that, especially ones who are called good.
Yeah, yeah, because she took care of everybody. Mm. So nice. She cooked for them. She cared for the sick.
Mm.
Yeah.
It must be, it's something to do with how true crime podcasts are the biggest by far, and true crime TV shows. People, I can't do it. They're like terrifying and disturbing to me. But
yeah, to me as well.
Something about it that people just
yeah.
have to hear. My sister loves scary movies, really scary movies, and she says it makes her feel safe.
Yeah. Maybe because we all have that the lines we do not cross.
Mm.
And then there are people who do cross them. So that's tantalizing, maybe.
Yeah.
And when it's been so many years ago, you can even use her face to market your new products.
Yes. We were just talking about that yesterday, that like the Nazis are still terrible monsters and you couldn't go there, but somehow this is just long enough ago that the people are fascinated instead of horrified. I don't know, maybe like 120 years is the magic number.
Yeah. You drink a product that is named after a poisoner.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bottle of Goeie Mie beer over there. It was brewed in the 90s. In the 1990s. It's not made anymore, and you can't drink this either, I think. Mm-hmm. But even then, it was used to market products, and I think it's interesting.
Very.
Yeah.
Especially alcoholic drinks. They're kind of toxic.
Yeah.
It's a bit poisonous. Yeah. Oh, so fascinating.
Yeah.
What a scary person. Maybe that's why, especially because she seems good and nice, but turned out to be a monster. There's something psychologically.
And we have a picture of her. We know what she looked like.
You're right. I bet that's a huge aspect of it.
Yeah.
And that she looks scary.
Yeah.
She looks like staring into your soul.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.